Please join me in prayer. Lord, before this world's day even began, your word was in the beginning, and it was with you, and it was you. The mystery of that brings us to our knees this morning. Yet today you allow us to open your word and to know you better. So we ask that you give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Give us hearts open to your spirit as we seek you. Amen. Were any of you afraid to go to church this morning? You have a lot of anxiety about coming here. There are a lot of reasons to be nervous about going to church. Where there's a church, there's people, and we have to interact with one another, and that can be a very uncomfortable thing. Maybe this was your first time coming here to Plainfield Christian Reformed Church. Maybe you didn't know what to expect. Maybe you've been worried. Maybe you're afraid that, you know, what if everyone at church is just kind of weird? What if they're strange? What if I have an unpleasant time? What if I waste my time? Maybe you'd say, no, of course I wasn't afraid to come here to church. Plainfield Christian Reformed Church is my home. I look forward to coming here. Well, it seems that according to the preacher in this text that all of us should have some sense of fear as we came to the house of God this morning. He tells us to guard our steps when we go to the house of God, and he means more than just driving carefully. Up until now, the preacher in the book of Ecclesiastes has been only observing the world. He's been giving us observations of what he has seen under the sun, and his conclusion is that everything under the sun is vanity. It is vapor. It's like a morning mist. It can be there for a moment, even beautiful and mesmerizing, but before you know it, the sun is up and that morning fog has faded away. That is what everything in this world is. As Pastor Pete said last week, the preacher has observed that in this world there is no comfort, no contentment, no companionship, no continuity. And even if you haven't been here for the first four chapters of Ecclesiastes, you yourself can also see this about the world that we live in. We hear it in many songs. I can't get no satisfaction. All we are is dust in the wind. These are the observations of the preacher about this world. So in a world of vanity, in a world of vapor, in a world without meaning, we go to church. We've all come here today to find something different. We have come here to dialogue with the divine. And because of that, the preacher has moved from giving us observations about the world to giving us instructions, clear instructions about what we must do when we go to the house of God. The preacher instructs us we must fear God when we go to his house. How? What does this even look like for us? You know, you might not even be sure today that God is real, that the divine even exists. But if he was, if God was real, if the divine was out there, how should you go about approaching him? How should we approach him this morning? Well, the preacher gives us two instructions. First, listen. Speak. Second. First, we are to listen, and we must listen carefully. Listening is not always easy. Sometimes we can have a hard time listening to the ones we love. Any of you who are parents know that many times children have a hard time listening. You can tell them to do something three times, and it's like they never heard it. Well, listening stays hard for us grown-ups too. But why is listening so difficult? Why are you having a hard time listening to me right now? Maybe a couple of you got called out by this, but to be honest, I would be called out by that question on many Sundays because even I can struggle to listen well and pay attention during a whole sermon. Now, you might say the answer to that question, why it's hard to listen to me, is easy. You might say, oh, well, of course, it's because you're kind of a boring speaker. Well, fair enough. Maybe I can be boring at times, but we believe that when the word of the Lord is preached faithfully, by some miracle, not because of any righteousness that I or any preacher has, not because of any great gifting or eloquence, but because of the Holy Spirit, that God speaks to us. And when God speaks, it is never boring. So I ask you again, why is it so hard for us to listen when God has something to say to us? I can think of two things. It can be hard to listen because of distractions. Our minds drift. We begin to think, what are we going to do after church? What are we going to have for lunch? How are we going to solve the problems that wait for us? We look forward to what we get to do after our time here at church. Because all around us, outside of the house of God, there are lots of things vying for our attention. Today, attention has become a commodity. It is something of great value. Because of that, algorithms have been programmed to figure out how to best retain our attention. Everything around us is designed, from the advertisements we drive by to the videos we watch to the continue watching button that only lasts for a few seconds before you're on to the next video. All of it's been set up to keep your attention, to retain it. Attention has become a commodity. And because of that, we expect that the things around us will earn our attention. So when we go to church, when we go to the house of God, we can go with a demand for church to be entertaining, for church to always keep our attention. And churches themselves can be tempted to answer this demand, to focus on retaining your attention. But the preacher doesn't speak as if the house of God is there to serve your attention, to entertain you. In fact, he speaks as if it demands our attention. See, distractions make it hard for us to listen, but the distractions of this world are what the preacher has already told us they are: vapor. At best, they are beautiful morning fog. At worst, they are nothing but hot air. The distractions of this world will not provide the meaning that we can find in God. And that's why we go here, right? That's why we go to church. Because if what we found here was anything like the distractions of the world, there's no sense in waking up on a Sunday morning when we can just find better things for our attention in the afternoon. Distractions are not good enough of a reason for us to not listen when God speaks. But there's another reason we can find listening to God difficult. And that is because we'd rather speak and have God listen to us. We'd rather speak and have God listen to us. When we go to God, we want to go to him and give him our words, give him a piece of our mind. Many times when we go to God, we want to criticize him, tell him what he's getting wrong. Tell him, God, you're not doing things right. You're not behaving as a God should. And this bleeds into our Sunday mornings many times. we find ourselves being critical of the preacher and their message. And I confess that I often find myself doing the same. A year ago, I went to a course on preaching, and long before I learned anything about effective preaching, I learned how to be an effective critic of preaching, because at the class, everyone would preach to the class, and then we'd all go around the room saying what they did well, but also what they didn't do well. And I got very good at critiquing sermons and saying, well, he didn't do this well, he should have said this better. And sometimes we go to the house of God with our critiques. We're only there to think to ourselves what should have been said, what God should have said to us on that morning. Other times we go to God with our complaints. We want to tell God that he's not treating us well. We complain before him. We bring our expectations before him. And we expect God to listen and to answer and to satisfy us right then and right there. We'd rather criticize, we'd rather complain, and we'd rather confront our God. Because of that, we speak rashly with our mouths and our hearts. This is what the preacher tells us in verse 2. He warns us against this when he says, "Be not rash with your mouth, or let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God." And what's alarming about this is that he instructs us, he gives us instructions for both our mouths and our hearts, which means that we can have quiet mouths. We can have mouths that always say the right thing, that always say what is expected of people to say within God's house. But even though our mouths speak words that sound right, we can still have hearts that are hasty to speak before and against our God. We can hide behind our mouths hearts that do not fear the Lord, that do not have the posture of listening carefully. And because of this, we can fall into this terrifying danger of offering the sacrifice of fools and coming to church and not even knowing that we are doing evil before God. Listening to God is hard, ultimately, because we'd rather be God ourselves. We expect God to keep our attention, to earn it, as if his only purpose is to entertain us. We want to go to God and demand answers from the Lord who laid the foundations of the earth, who commands the mornings, the Lord who sends forth lightning, lightning that we heard last night, the lightning that goes and says to the Lord, "Here we are." The preacher tells us this is not what we are to do. We cannot approach God in this way. He tells us, God is in heaven and you are on earth. God is in heaven and you are on earth. We need to know our place before the Lord and not reverse the two. That's our heart's desire, that we would be in heaven and God would be on earth. We would be the masters and he would be there to serve us. That's why Adam and Eve sinned against him. They desired to be like God. And ever since then, that has been our deepest desire, the desire of our flesh, the desire to speak instead of listen. But the preacher tells us that when we approach the Almighty Lord, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Lord of Hosts, we must listen to God on his terms and not ours. We must listen to God on his terms and not ours. If you don't know anything about God, about the God of the Bible, well, how would you listen to him? Well, I would encourage you to read his words, read the Bible without any preconceived ideas about what God might have to say. We hear lots of things about God and Christians and Christianity in the news. We all have our impressions of what to expect. But I would encourage you, go to the source, go to God himself, read the Bible, read the Gospels, read the words of Jesus, and listen to them as they are, not with any of the preconceived ideas you might have, not with any of the baggage you might bring. Listen to God with fear and respect for him. But is our relationship with God just a monologue? Is that all that church is, just a monologue where we just sit there and listen? Well, by the grace of God, we have the privilege of dialoguing with him in his house. Worship is a dialogue with God where we speak back with him. I didn't always go to a Reformed church. Before I joined here, I hadn't been to a church with things like a call to worship or a time of the reading of the law and then a confession of sin where everyone said the same words together. But our worship here is shaped after this principle. We listen to God and then we speak to him sincerely in response. We listen to God call us into worship and then we lift up our voices. We listen to the law of God and then we confess our sins. We listen to his word preached and we respond in faith. So when we go to the house of God with fear, we are to listen first and speak second. In that order, we listen first and we speak second. And the preacher tells us that when we speak, we must speak sincerely. We must speak sincerely. Now, just like listening well, it turns out that always speaking sincerely, speaking the truth, isn't as easy for us as we would think. It's not always easy to speak truthfully. Why is this? Many times, words are a whole lot easier than action. It's a lot easier to say, "Yes, Mom, I'm going to take out the trash in an hour. Don't worry about it. I'll do the dishes in an hour." But when that time comes, it's a lot harder for us to get up and actually do the thing that we said we would do. It's easy to say, "Oh, I'll pay you tomorrow." Then it's very easy to forget about the promise that we had made, to let go of our money. It's easier to just let that slide. Which is why the preacher tells us that when we make a vow to God to do not delay paying it, for he has no pleasure in fools. It's hard to speak truthfully because words are easier than action, but it's also because we just like to sound good. We just like to sound good to God and to others. Whenever we speak, we're speaking with, in the back of our heads, what will others think about me? I want to say things that people like to hear. I want my words to have weight with those around me. Because of that, words that we speak to God can be spoken in the same way. We go to God saying what we think he'll want us to hear. So often, our prayers are not marked by sincerity, that they're just empty words that we think God wants us to hear. Many times Christians, we know that we should pray frequently, that we should enjoy this privilege that we have to speak to God, but we find ourselves just going through the motions, not really meaning anything that we're actually saying to God. We thank him for our food, but we don't actually take the time to be thankful. We say we desire to turn away from our sin, and yet it still has a grip on us, an allure that is stronger to us than the allure of God himself. We like to sound good to God and others. Words are easier to us than action, but ultimately, speaking truthfully and sincerely is difficult because we, at our core, are untruthful. Think about it. Why do vows even exist? Why are promises even a thing? Well, vows exist because we lie all the time. We lie all the time. So we say things like, I promise, or I'm telling the truth this time, I swear. Because we all inherently know that that's never actually a guarantee. People lie all the time. So when we go to places where, you know, we really have to be truthful and these words really have to count, we say things like, you know, I promise, I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Well, if all of us were truthful all the time, if speaking honestly was easy, we would have no use for vows at all. We'd never need to make a promise to one another. We'd never need to make a promise to God. And yet, so often, we find ourselves making these promises and making vows to God, knowing that we will not keep our vows. This is why the preacher strongly instructs us away from this. He tells us, let not your mouth lead you into sin, and do not say before the messenger that it was a mistake. Why should God be angry at your voice and destroy the works of your hands? When we don't fear God, when we go into his house without any fear for him, we think that we deceive ourselves. We think we can say to him whatever we want. Whatever he wants to hear, whatever makes us sound good. And we think we can get away with it. We think that we will not upset God. Once again, even from the beginning of human history, we made this mistake. Adam and Eve, they thought they could deceive God. When he asked them why they had eaten of the apple, they thought they could just fool the God of the universe. But God sees our heart. So do not double your evil against him. Do not make vows to the Lord. Do not speak empty words to him that you do not actually mean. I wonder, do hypocrites make you angry? Maybe you've looked at Christians and you've thought, well, Christians, they seem like a bunch of hypocrites. They talk about love, they talk about grace, they talk about mercy, but do they actually act on those things? Well, if hypocrites make you angry, know this morning that they make God angry too. The preacher warns us against this, that empty words, that insincere words will bring God's anger at our voice, and that he will destroy the empty works of our hands. If you speak like a Christian, if you confess faith in the Lord, live out your faith to him. Actually, live in the love that you claim to believe in. Live in fear of the God that you so boldly claim faith in. We must speak with sincerity before our God. We must approach him with fear of the Lord. We must go to God. We must listen to him with fear first, and then speak before him with fear second. But why is God so demanding of us? The preacher has given us these two instructions. Listen, listen carefully, and listen before you do anything else, and only then you might speak, but do it sincerely. Do it, speak truthfully. Lest God be angry at you. So why is God so demanding of us? Why are we given all these rules for when we go to the house of God? Is he a narcissist? Is he simply a jerk who just likes to be heard? Why is he so demanding? And why would we want to listen to? Why would we want to speak with? Why would we want to go so far as to worship a God like this? Well, as I said, we all go to the house of God seeking the divine, seeking something that lasts, seeking solid ground in a world that is made up of sand and vapor. Tell me, what good is it to go to a physician, to stand near to him, to go to the office and refuse the medicine that he prescribes? What advantage is there to go to a fountain and refuse to drink? What profit is there in entering a church if your soul never enters with you? We must listen to God as people who fear him in order to receive his word. This is why he has instructed us in this way, so that we might receive his word, so that we might hear what he has to say. Because if we don't actually listen to him, if we don't listen to carefully, we'll never be able to hear his words of grace to us. And if we hear those words and we speak empty words in response, we speak without sincerity, well then, the good of hearing those words will be all for nothing if we cannot respond to them honestly. The reason that God has given us these instructions for when we enter his house, for when we go to him, is because he desperately wants us to hear and receive and respond to his word. What is the word of God? What is this word that is so important for us to set everything aside and to listen to and to respond to? Well, the word of God is what the Apostle John tells us in his gospel. He tells us that in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The word of God is Jesus Christ. And that word became flesh. God is not a hard-to-reach, difficult narcissist, because he humbled himself. He lowered himself. He brought himself down to this earth in all its vanity and all of its vapor, all of its full of all of its striving after the wind. He descended to this earth, all so that you might hear his word of grace. And when we take the time to listen to this word, when we hear God speak and we have a proper fear of the Lord, we can receive the word of God, and when we do that, we are graced with confidence. Our fear of the Lord leads us to confidence. The only confidence we can ever find. Hebrews tells us that Christ entered into the holy place. He entered into the house of God. But not a earthly shadow, not a temple or just a simply a building like the ones we find here on earth. But Christ entered into heaven itself. And he entered into heaven itself not by means of the blood of a lamb or some sort of livestock that was sacrificed. No, he went into the house of God because he shed his own blood to purify us and to wash us clean. See, before Christ came to the earth, going into the house of God was a dangerous thing. It was a dangerous and fearful thing to enter into the presence of the Lord. And there are all these rules and procedures that had to be followed. The priests had to be washed clean before they dared to enter into the divine presence of our holy God. It was a fearful thing to go to God, to approach him. But by the blood of Christ that he shed for us, we can go to God, we can go before him, we can go before the throne of grace with confidence, with assurance. Going to God with fear will grace us with confidence. Going to God with fear will grace us with confidence. Do not think that this fear of the Lord that we are supposed to have, this fear is the fear of slaves of their master. Slaves fear punishment, but the sons fear grieving their father. Such fear is the mother of love. This is the fear that we are to have of our Lord. And the more we know of God's goodness, the more we listen to him, the more carefully we will approach him. For who can behold such mercy without reverence? Who can contemplate such patience without shame? Who can remember the cross without love? May we all so worship our Lord, not with careless lips, but with contrite hearts, not merely with outward reverence, but with inward transformation, so that when this worship on earth gives way to heavenly liturgy, we may join together with the angels who ceaselessly cry, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. To him be glory, dominion, and worship, together with the Father and the Holy Spirit, now and forever, and into the ages of ages." Amen. Let's pray. Father, guard our steps, quiet our hearts. Teach us first to listen before we speak. Deliver us from making worship about ourselves and enlarge our vision of your holiness and your grace. Thank you that through Christ we may come with reverence and confidence into your presence. By your Spirit, make us true worshipers who worship you in spirit and in truth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.